Okay, Sandy Rios with you on this Monday morning, and I'm just really interested to know what happened at the No Kings rallies. How about you? We had some here where I live, so I know a little bit about that, but we had rallies all over the country. Well, we're going to tell you all about what happened in New York, in Washington, D.C., in Chicago, and other places on today's edition. But first of all, there is a young girl who made a video for TikTok, which I thought was so eloquent. It's worth playing for you. Let's listen.
No Kings. Unless it was during the pandemic when all the mom and pop businesses were shut down, but the government said it was totally fine for all the major super rich corporations to continue operating. But I didn't really care because as long as I could get my Starbucks and go to Target, I was fine. No Kings. Except during the pandemic, when we told people that they would lose their job unless they took a certain medical product or they couldn't even go into certain restaurants without vaccine paperwork. That was crazy, but I didn't really care because I just complied. No Kings. Remember when we also told people that they had to not visit their loved ones that were sick and dying in the hospital, the elderly, they had to die alone. That was really sad. We shut down the schools, completely wrecked the developmental learning for a whole generation. I mean, that was tragic, but we don't really talk about that because that's over now. New outrage, no Kings. Remember when we were told over and over if we got that medical product, we for sure would not get sick. And even though the people that got it immediately did get sick, we were for sure told they wouldn't spread it. And then that gradually became, well, like 95%, like 75%. Okay, there's no evidence it does what we told everyone it does, but we've already made everyone take it that would anyway. And no one really cared because it's new outrage time, no Kings. And do you remember during that time, anyone who tried to bring attention to these issues on social media was censored or their account was banned? And limiting free speech at that time seemed okay to me. I didn't really think about it. No Kings. You don't hate authoritarianism. You just hate what you're told to hate by the algorithm and the news outlets. Be so for real. I just wish the anti-authoritarian energy was present during actual tyranny from both the federal and local governments during that time. But no, of course not. And it's not authoritarianism if the majority of the people voted for it, both popular vote and electoral votes, people wanted the border secure. So settle down and start thinking for yourself. Turn off the TikTok. It's going to be okay.
You know what? I don't need to do a show. I think she's got it all figured out. I think she has a future in radio if she wants it. That's just, I mean, who could lay it out more clearly? And so I wanted you to hear it. Hats off to that young lady, whoever she is, for all of her great thinking skills, critical thinking. What a refreshing thought. All right, well, you're listening to Sandy Rios 24-7, and we love hearing from you, so call us at 662-821-2040. Leave a message. We love hearing from you, 662-821-2040, or you can write us at sandy@afr.net. You can find us on all the social media platforms, and you can find the podcast on any podcast platform, whether it's Spotify or Apple or whatever your favorite platform is. AFR.net is home base, AmericanFamilyRadio.net. For those of you that are AFA listeners for all these years, that's probably your go-to place, AFR.net. And also you can then go, if the easiest thing of all is to go to my website. We just put it up every day, and it's simple. So sandyrios.com, sandyrios.com. Well, we're going to be talking about what happened at these rallies. But first, this is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24-7. As you know, by now you know my voice. And you know you can call us at 662-821-2040. You can write us at sandy@afr.net. You can listen to the podcast on any podcast platform, Spotify or, I don't know, Amazon, whatever you use, Apple. But also, of course, our home base is American Family Radio. So you can listen at afr.net. And last but not least, if you're not used to podcasting and a little bit not sure of yourself, when you go online, go to sandyrios.com and you can listen very easily, sandyrios.com. Well, we're living in a time when lies are easy and the truth is costly. We're going to be talking about that a little bit today. And nowhere is that more devastating than in the battle for life. Well, that's exactly what Natalie faced. Her first reaction to her pregnancy was abortion, because that's the lie that she was told. But once she heard the heartbeat of her child, she knew that God wanted her to have that baby, and that all things would be possible through him. Natalie chose life and was provided with the love, support, and resources she needed. At Preborn Network clinics, this happens an average of 200 times a day because of the support of people like you. Moms who are overwhelmed and pressured suddenly see their baby, hear the truth, and realize they're not alone. My dear friends and supporters of Preborn for all this time, that moment of truth just cost $28 for one ultrasound. And an ultrasound doubles the baby's chance at life, because moms who see the baby generally choose to keep their babies. It's really amazing. If you have not helped us yet, go to preborn.com/Sandy. If you're a faithful supporter, maybe it's time to give some more, be more generous. Just help a little bit more at preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. All right, sit back, maybe take notes, and maybe you have things to contribute. You might want to call us if you do at that phone number, 662-821-2040. We can't be everywhere, and maybe you saw something we didn't see. But today, Ned Jones, who has infiltrated Indivisible, which is the organization that is behind the No Kings rallies, will join us to describe what he saw in monitoring this over the weekend on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
Look at this. Millions of people across the country marching as we speak against the policies of President Trump. This is Boston. Look at that. We'll continue to follow these rallies throughout the day here on MSNBC.
And yes, they will. Well, now, let's see. They're telling us that 7 million people were in the No Kings protest yesterday. I'm talking to you Monday morning, October the 20th. So I thought it would be really good to catch up again with Ned Jones. We did a show just last week where we covered who's supporting these marches, who's behind it, are they violent, are they not. Lots of really important, fascinating information. So I recommend, if you want to know more about this, you go back and listen to my first conversation with Ned. Ned has infiltrated Indivisible, which is the organization, the violent organization, actually supporting the No Kings rally, not financially. George Soros is supporting it financially. Ned has infiltrated that organization, Indivisible, and he's been tracking all of this. And so I couldn't think of anyone better this morning to find out what actually happened at the No Kings rallies this past weekend than Ned. So Ned is the deputy director of the Election Integrity Network. And Ned, thanks so much for joining us again today.
No, thanks for having me on this morning, Sandy.
Okay, first of all, 7 million people, Ned, 7 million people. Did you just talk about, you think there were 7 million people?
Yeah, well, I've tried to find out more about the number, and it's very difficult. You don't see any of the official reporting from the cities like you usually do. However, from what I've determined, the turnout was probably around 1 million or maybe a few more. You look at the four cities that had the 100,000 range, Boston, which we're not sure about. Chicago, they said, was a big crowd at 250. New York City, 100,000. D.C., 200,000. But that's it. I mean, they're talking about Seattle in the hundreds, Minneapolis in the thousands, even Dallas in the thousands. So yeah. I don't believe the 7 million is even close.
You know, Ned, I'm reading this
morning. It's so interesting because I think they had a pre-planned number, and that's what they're promoting.
Yes, because they claimed there were 5 million in the June protest, and I never believed that. That kind of came and went, and
right.
nobody noticed. But here's the thing. I'm reading this morning that actually NBC actually used a video from 2017 in the Boston rally. It was not authentic.
Right, I heard about that.
Yeah, and I saw, and I also saw that another one, I just saw a whole bunch of people who had been examining these photos, and one of them, they superimposed another crowd to make it look like it was, I think that was in D.C. So I think these are, they're playing with us. This is fraudulent.
Yeah,
these numbers are fraudulent.
And I think the numbers are not as important as that it didn't accomplish anything. I live here in Henrico County right outside of Richmond, and I went to the, quote, local protest. There were 24 white seniors standing on a street corner dancing to Beatles music. So I think that's pretty much what they got. And really, it proved nothing. It did prove that there's a violent element out there, and that's what I was most concerned about before and what I saw in the videos from these, quote, protests.
Let's talk about that, but let's sit for a second on the age, because you're not the only person that observed that. In fact, Boston's NBC actually reported this. Ned, listen, this is clip 11.
People I know who are there. This is an older crowd. There's not a lot of folks, and granted, it's a big crowd here. I'm not good at estimating, but it's definitely over 2,000, maybe close to 3,000. We can't see everyone, but it's an older crowd. A lot of white hair you see out there, Q-tips, as we used to call them in the business. And they're out protesting, and not a lot of young people. And also, again, portraying this I hate America idea that this is what this protest is about, showing people who are boomers and middle-aged out taking time from their day on a Saturday to come and protest and be heard at the nation's oldest public park, Boston Common. People I
Yeah, so another account, Ned, also confirms that PJ Media is reporting that there were so many protesters riding in motorized wheelchairs. And also observing that the crowd, like in Times Square, dispersed exactly at 1 o'clock. I don't know.
Well, that's typical. That's typical of many of the cities where it just ended and everyone left at a pre-described time. So yeah, that was typical of many of the cities.
Someone speculated, and actually someone confirmed that these protesters were moving around also, like from place to place, from city to city. So. It's a facade, but the violence. Talk to me about the violence, because I really don't know much about anything violent that happened.
Well, I think one of the things you saw a lot was this 8647 sign, you know, mm-hmm. kill the president, yeah. which started with Comey with his shells on the beach,
right.
And then you saw this crazy preoccupation with TPUSA. And, you know, this the assassination of Charlie Kirk, you know, a lot of them were mimicking it. And I don't understand that at all, except that could be, you know, the trans issue. Because you see a lot of them, we were told, were teachers and educators who were out there in the crowd as well. And that all makes total sense. But, you know, the violence is the rhetoric. And that leads to the sniper's nest in West Palm Beach at the airport, which
yes.
I'm sure you heard about,
yes.
In a direct line to President Trump's plane. I mean, they are still after him, and this rhetoric does not help at all.
You know, I actually have a clip, speaking of violence. Well, two things I was going to tell you. I saw a clip of a Chicago public school teacher mimicking Charlie Kirk's murder.
Yes,
so,
I saw that, yep.
Yeah, yes. And so then I saw this video of someone in Chicago on a bullhorn. Let's listen. This is clip 12.
You gotta grab a gun! We gotta turn around the guns on this fascist system! These ICE agents gotta get shot and wiped out! This state, the state machinery, that's a full display right there, has to get wiped out!
That's at the No Kings protest in Chicago, Ned. You know, I would think that would be against the law, wouldn't you?
Yeah, these people should be arrested and made examples of, because it's creating a very, very dangerous situation in our country. And it's well-financed. There's somebody behind it. You know, I know the government is looking into the finances behind the violence. They better hurry up, because this sniper's nest is really just another, I believe, another attempt at Trump.
Yes, and I guess I should expand that a little bit. The Secret Service discovered this sniper's nest, like a hunting nest, with the direct shot to where President Trump gets off his plane from Mar-a-Lago, I believe, right, Ned? When he, or one of his golf course, I'm not sure. And so, you know, just shocking. Like, you know, where did this come from? It's really scary. How can they track all of that stuff? How is it possible?
Well, you know, it's really interesting, because Dan Bongino was just on TV and he was talking about it. He said the tree stand, as it's called, for hunters, has already been sent to the lab, the FBI lab. They're really on it. And, you know, I'm sure they're going to get to the bottom of it. But like he said, they have to be right 100% of the time. This thing was aimed right at Trump's plane, to the effect that I heard last night he had to use the small stairs. They wouldn't let him go up the regular ramp because they're so concerned now about something happening at that airport. And it's just from the rhetoric, you know. I talk about it all the time. This rhetoric has to stop. You know, they call it free speech, but when they're, you know, pointing at their neck about Charlie Kirk, and this guy in a bullhorn is talking about getting guns and killing people, and we're actually seeing assassinations, you know, we've got to get put a stop to this.
Ned, there had been some anticipation, I think, by the government. I don't remember what entity, but they released this statement that they thought Antifa would be a part of these No Kings rallies. Did you see any signs of that, of Antifa, as you watched?
Well, you know, I didn't see any obvious in the video that I've seen. However, this guy, George Conway, shows up in D.C. with an I Am Antifa T-shirt on. And, you know, Antifa's influence is out there. There's no question about it.
Well, and of course, we need to say that President Trump has designated Antifa as a domestic terrorist organization. So, and George Conway is Kellyanne Conway's ex-husband. George is the founder of Lincoln, the Lincoln Project, which is the group of people that absolutely hate Donald Trump, people in D.C. And I would think, too, with him, if you go out and wear a T-shirt now that says, I am Antifa, since President Trump just designated them as a terrorist organization, wouldn't you think that would be an opening to arrest George Conway?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I was hoping that we would take the same approach of, quote, law enforcement, as we experienced for 4 years against President Trump, with some of these people that are obvious, I call them lawbreakers. You know, they sit on the First Amendment, but this is not the First Amendment, not when violence is the result.
No. And one of the things you told us last week, Ned, is that the Communist Party USA, was part of this rally as well. Did you see?
Yeah.
I do have one thing from it. I just wondered if you've seen any signs of that, of them marching or waving, whatever they wave.
Well, I saw the list of partners, and I believe it was in New York, where they actually listed the Communist Party of the United States. And then I had C-SPAN on Saturday morning because they were going to cover the D.C. rally, and I saw the list of speakers, and I couldn't believe who was speaking in D.C. But they were interviewing a guy named Maurice Mitchell, who is head of the Working Families Party, which is an organization that grew out of ACORN, and they're communists. You know, they support Man Danny in New York. They're a Bernie Sanders supporter, very heavily funded from every left-wing organization that you've ever heard of. And these are the kind of organizations that they're communists. And if this guy gets elected in New York, that's going to be the first one.
Just to prove your point, I have a shot, a photo shot, a shot someone took of the communist newspaper being handed out at the New York City rally. And it says, the communists with the hammer and sickle, voice of the revolutionary communists of America. And the headline is, the billionaires are the enemy. And then the subtitle is, class struggle, not culture war. So this is what they're handing out in full view. I just, Ned, I don't know how we got to this point where the communists have such a deep rooted hold on this country, where a communist is actually running for mayor in New York City and his numbers are increasing. I mean, I don't, you and I are, you know, have been around a long time. We remember when we understood that communism was a great threat. How did this become so central and so so broadly accepted without any kind of response? How did that happen, Ned?
I think it's the education system. I think it's the young people coming out of college. I think that I know that college used to produce okay? That's where the liberals came from. But now they're producing communists. You know, everything's going to be free. The rich have to pay more. What's so fascinating to me, they complain about the billionaires, and one of the largest billionaires in the world, Soros, is behind all of it. And then you have Gates and Zuckerberg and Omidyar. You just name all the billionaires that are paying for them to say it's the billionaires. It's just, the whole thing is just ridiculous, but I think it's just, it's a, quote, attempted communist infiltration. It really is. I mean, and I think this guy in New York is a perfect example.
One thing I read that I wasn't aware of, you probably, I know we both know this, that the government is really doubling down on finding out who's backing this kind of resistance that is so unhealthy and anti-American, and they've the IRS is into it, and so is Treasury. But what I didn't know, and maybe you do, Ned, is that Scott Bessent was actually employed by George Soros at one time. I think he handled his hedge fund. He handled some big entity that George Soros had. Think of the irony of that.
Yeah, I read that somewhere too, and I don't remember the details exactly, but it is incredible. I mean, it is, and who knows? I mean, because that's amazing if that's true.
Yes, well, I think it is true.
He's the main funder of all of this.
Yes, and Scott will know George. Who else would know George Soros like the details of his financing than Scott Bessent? I mean, what? That's just amazing to me. So I want people to be encouraged that something is actually being done to stop this. And last question, Ned. You hinted at this at the beginning, but the New Kings rally, we suspect, was organized to stir up the base, to make sure they stay strong and engaged and turn out for these elections coming up, both in Virginia and also the regular, wherever the place in November, the regular midterm election. And so do you think they have accomplished that?
You know, I don't know, because when you look at the issues, the conservatives are on the right side of all the issues. And the only way that the progressives, the liberals, these communists can win is by, I use the word cheating, taking advantage of our election system. And I think that's what's going on right now in Virginia, New Jersey. New York has a crazy system of conducting their elections. And so who knows? I mean, he does appear to be in the lead with the polling. But I'm extremely concerned about the vulnerabilities that still exist in our election system. I talk about it all the time, going into the midterms and actually these elections coming up in November.
Oh, I'm too. I am too. You know, I understand that the Justice Department is, even though we're not hearing about it, that they are all over the 2020 election. There's some people in our government that are fully paying attention to that, but it's just not being reported yet. And so we need that. We have to have that, Ned. We have to have that. There has to be a reckoning on what happened to us so that it never happens again. I know you agree with that. As the deputy director of the Election Integrity Network, you definitely agree with that.
We must get to the bottom of it. We have to learn from the 2020 election. But at the same time, we've actually learned a lot. You think about non-citizens voting in the 4 years of Biden, how many millions entered the country. You think about the vulnerabilities with vote by mail, which has expanded and should be done away with. So there's so much that should be done that we already know about. You know, that's what we work on all the time.
Yes, I know you do, and you do. You guys do an incredible job. And let me just say, Election Integrity Network, .network, isn't that the Election Integrity .network? Isn't that your actual address?
Yes, that's my email address, ned@electionintegritynetwork. And then the Election Integrity Network, electionintegrity.org is the website.
.org. Okay, that's what I was looking for, because people might want to join and be part of that, Ned. They can do
Absolutely.
That in their own states, so we would encourage each and every one of you to do that. Ned, thank you so much. We'll see what happens. I guess the thing that I think I can't imagine that they've persuaded anyone. I just can't think that they would have brought anyone over to their side with this rally.
I agree, and thank you so much for covering this so well, and appreciate being on again.
Oh, my pleasure, Ned, and thank you for your time. Appreciate that. So we'll talk to you soon. All right, Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Reborn has a passion for saving unborn babies from abortion and seeing women come to Christ. Over the past 18 years, Preborn clinics have counseled over 500,000 women considering abortion, and more than 300,000 babies have been saved, and over 80,000 women have come to Christ. Now that's real life. You know, that's eternal life. That's what we want for their babies too, eventually. Every day, Preborn Network Clinics rescues 200 babies from abortion. If you would like to join our effort to stop abortion, that's really what they're doing. That's what I'm doing too. It's a mutually agreed upon mission. Go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
We have a fascist government in America abetted by a fascist media. And people need to have their voices be heard. There's this idea that somehow that Trump stands for America. He stands for nothing like that. He stands for hate. He stands for everything against the Constitution, everything our values are built upon. And he stands for himself and his friends and not for the greater American people.
Democracy is at stake. And, you know, with the current situation with this, I don't even know what to call him at this point. It's not looking good. It's not looking good. You know, he wants to be a king, he wants to be a monarch, and that's just not right. We don't stand for that in America.
I think he's a fool, but the people that surround him, enable him, are very devious. He's just a clown.
Okay, so what you notice when you listen to the comments is these people really are not that bright. They don't have that much to say. They repeat talking points. Trump is a clown. He wants to be a king. He's a fool. One person in my own hometown here said this. She said, "I'm thinking of Mahatma Gandhi's philosophy of being the change you wish to see. So I came to speak up for humanity, for everyone, for decency and kindness." So that's what she was on the street for. I don't know. I think that young girl at the beginning of this show, that the clip that I played, has more wisdom than any of the people. We pulled lots of clips. I heard lots of statements. And just, I don't know how anybody could be persuaded by this. One thing that I wish you could see, I'm just going to tell you, Blue Sky is the kind of communication. It's kind of the counter to X. When Elon Musk opened up X to free speech, you could say whatever you want, the left left Twitter and started Blue Sky. So that's where they all are. They're over on Blue Sky. They don't come on Twitter anymore, or Twitter, X. And so over the weekend, President Trump joined Blue Sky. And he did. I'm sorry. He he just put a montage of all the things that he'd accomplished as president. But my favorite is J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance also joined Blue Sky, and he did it with a video, which, again, I wish you could see, but I'll tell you about it. He plays this great music, and he shows President Trump being like with a crown on his head and putting the big robe around him, the cape that's, you know, the velvet sort of cape, and then being handed a scepter and looking down. And the next frame is a shot of Nancy Pelosi and all those members of the House who bowed for the Black Lives Matter protests with the African scarves over them, all of them bowing as though they're bowing before for King Trump. It's just hilarious. J.D. Vance is the best. And I do think the best way to handle this is really with humor, because it's just, can you imagine all these seniors? I heard estimates that like 70 or 80% of the crowds were seniors. In their wheelchairs or walking, their, you know, cotton gray hair, just reliving their glorious protest past. It's kind of sad to me, really, that people would get to this point in their lives and still be so silly and foolish. But they did, and they are, and that's the way it is. So I do thank God that I don't think they're having much influence. And so So there you go. That's what happened over the weekend with the new No Kings rallies. I'm sure we'll hear more things as the day progresses, but I just wanted to give you good information to start your day with. And to don't forget, also, my conversation with Ned last week, the podcast before this one, will explain all about the No Kings rallies, the backing of it, Indivisible, who's George Soros and his financing. It's really fascinating. So I think you'll want to go back and listen to that also, just so we'll be aware of what they're trying to do. And who knows, they may succeed in Virginia. There's such a tight race with the governor and a tight race with the attorney general, and terrible things are happening in Virginia. Speaking of violence, I'm sure you know all about it, that the attorney general candidate has said in messages that he wanted to kill the Speaker of the House, the sitting Speaker at that time. He called out the Speaker's wife by name, said he wanted to kill her and to kill their children in her arms so that she would suffer. The children are like 3 and 5 years old. It's just horrific. And yet, the candidate for governor, Abigail Spanberger, has not asked him to step down. She's just mute about it, and that seems to be okay with Democrats in Virginia. This is how bad things are. As bizarre as we think the No Kings rally is, some people are, this is where they live. They live with hatred, bitterness, violence, and they want to destroy this country. But we are, I'll say, speak for myself, I'm optimistic, because I think we have a wonderful God who seems to be giving us a reprieve. President Trump is probably the best friend to Christianity and to this country we've ever had hold the office that he holds, bold and fearless. And so here we are. And we just pray that God will continue, and that we would be comport ourselves in life, walk worthy, really is what I'm trying to say, in a way that God would look down and honor the way we try to honor him by stopping this destruction of our country in whatever way he chooses. And that's my prayer. So I hope you enjoyed and learned a lot on today's broadcast. I want to thank you all for listening to today's edition, of course, of Sandy Rios 24/7.